I'm loving this mission. Every night they pray for the two young men involved. That's great. And tonight I realize that I'm only 35. That's even better. Yes, it's a joy to be in the house of the Lord. And it's a thrill to hear you sing. And John, it's great to hear you sing again. Turning tonight to Luke chapter 15, please. Luke chapter 15. It's a long chapter, this, and we'll not read it all. We're just going to read a couple of verses, and I will refer to whatever else I need to refer as we speak. Luke chapter 15, and we're going to read from verse 1. And it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Let's ask the Lord to bless tonight. Father, it's a joy and a privilege to be in the house of God, especially against the backdrop that we find ourselves in tonight. But our loving Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here. We thank you for everyone who is here. And we plead and pray that indeed the Spirit of the Lord would minister to us tonight. Thank you for all that has already been said and sung. It has challenged and blessed our hearts. Now, Father, continue to work. I'm your servant. Put thy word in my mouth. Lord, undertake, we pray, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Amen. Last night, we were looking at sin. We were looking at it from the view and the thought of sin as an employer, the wages of sin. Sin is a king. Let not sin reign over you. We were looking at sin as a master. He that committeth sin is the servant of sin. We were looking at sin as a governing power. Let not sin have dominion over you. You know, any good employer will give you a job that you like. Any good employer will give you as much as you can handle, and he'll not swamp you. He'll not sink your boat. How many people have I met recently who, in the last few years, have given up their employment because their employer kept introducing more and more technology, and they just couldn't cope with it, so they just left. Well, a good employer will try and match the job to your ability, and a good employer will pay you to keep you. And folks, that's the way sin works. That's the way sin works. And tonight I want to look at four classes of sinner that we find in Luke chapter 15. And I trust that the Lord will bless it to our hearts. And the first class of sinner that I find in this chapter, and remembering, of course, that this chapter is addressed to, first of all, Pharisees and scribes. They were the more upright, kind of religious sort of people. They didn't get involved in the things of the world, per se. The other class of sinner that we find in this passage were the publicans and sinners. And the publicans were the boys that collected the taxes. The sinners were virtually anybody else who did sin. But you know, you often find where it came to the ladies and this term sinners, it probably and usually meant that they were sexually immoral. Let me just leave it there. But you know, dear folks, tonight there are four classes of sinner mentioned in the parables, or parables, should I say, that the Lord Jesus Christ told. The first two parts to this parable, the Lord said, "Which man of you?" In other words, he's pointing down, look, if you were in this situation, what would you do? But then the last two that we find in this chapter, it says, "A certain man." And any time you see a certain man, you can be certain that that man really lived. It wasn't a parable. He's telling a true story, but he's drawing a truth out of the true story that he knew about. And so the first class of sinner that I want to think about tonight is the sheep. The sheep. Now, if you and I had a pause with that sheep and said, "Excuse me, sheep,
I want to interview you a little moment. I want to speak to you. Tell me, did you ever really intend to leave the shepherd? Did you ever intend to go far away? Did you ever intend to get so far away that you couldn't have heard his voice? You know, that sheep would have said no. If you'd have said to the sheep, "Sheep, well, tell me, how is it that you went away?" And he'd say, "Well, there was a lovely little clump of grass just over there, and I went over and I ate it." "And how did you feel doing that, sheep?" "Well, you know, that's what sheep do. They eat grass, and when I ate it, I felt good." "Did you not feel any sorrow about it?" "Why would I feel sorrow? Sheep are meant to eat grass." "And so what happened next, sheep?" "Well, you know what happened next? I just saw another little clump of grass, and I ran over and I ate it as well." "Oh, you ate it too. And did you feel bad about that?" "No, I didn't. It actually made me feel real good. I was quite happy inside." "And so what happened next, sheep?" "Well, I saw another little clump of grass, and I ran over and I ate it too. And I kept on doing that until one moment came when I looked around and I could no longer see any other sheep. And I couldn't see the shepherd anymore. I couldn't see the shepherd anymore." And you know, there are those that are like that as far as sin is concerned. They had no real intention of getting away out into the things of sin. They never had really any plan for that. There was no real rebellion in their heart. There was no real desire there to be particularly bad or anything else. But just somehow, one thing led to another thing, to another thing, to another thing, until eventually they find themselves far, far, far away from God. You know, dear soul, would I speak to anybody like that in this service? And you've wandered far away from God. You didn't run away. Just like the sheep, you have wandered away, wandered away. You know, if I was to pause and say to that sheep, "Well, look, sheep, you know, I want to tell you something. You're quite some distance from the shepherd now. And you know, night is coming, and we're living in a land where there are lions. We're living in a land where there are wolves. We're living in a land where there are bears. You really have little hope of survival tonight. Have you any concern, sheep? Have you any concern?" And you know, tonight I want to say to you, if it happens to be that you've wandered far away from God, then you know, dear friend, there is a night coming. As sure as nighttime will fall tonight. Nighttime will fall. And when nighttime falls, there comes all the dangers of the night. And just as that poor old sheep had little chance of survival, you won't have any either. You won't have any either. The second class of sinner that I find in this particular chapter is this. We have a coin. And that coin was in a lady's possession. She had that coin in her hand. Or she had it in her string. Or she had it in her purse. I don't know what happened. But somehow that coin began to lose its grip. Somehow that coin was not held as tightly. Somehow things began to weaken with that coin. And there came a moment when that coin just fell. And rolled into the dirt of the house floor. And remember, of course, we're living in the land of Israel. We've got a mud floor, a dirt floor. And that coin just rolled into the dirt and disappeared. You know, it may happen to be that that publican decided that he would become a tax collector. And he was like the sheep. And so he went into his job and he was sitting there in front of the desk. And, you know, the other tax collector said to him, "Now here's a man coming and his taxes, for instance, could have been, you know, £20. You charge him £21 and you put that pound in your pocket." "Oh, is this what you do in this job?" "Yeah, of course this is what you do in this job. Do you not know that you did a little here and you do it a little there?" "All right, okay." And then maybe next week, there's another man comes in and, "Well, instead of charging £21, we'll go for £22 and it's £2 in the pocket." And like the sheep, he goes far away from God. But maybe that coin was like the sinner ladies. There was a day whenever she was a virgin. There was a day whenever she was clean. There was a day whenever she was she had kept herself, well, right as far as that is concerned. And then there came a day when somehow things loosened and she just fell. And she fell into the dirt and disappeared into the mud. Disappeared into the mud. She just fell. It wasn't a gradual thing. It wasn't a slow thing. She just fell. One day. And somehow she's in the dirt. And you know, there are dear folks like that. And maybe the years have passed and time has rolled on. But we look back to that moment when we just fell. We just fell. There's a third class of individual. And that third class of individual, they imagined what they were going to do. Inwardly, they rebelled against their home. Inwardly, they thought to themselves, there is a life out there that looks so exciting. And if I could only get there to that life, that's the life I want. That's the life I want. If I could only get away from home, because Daddy has such a constraining influence upon us and I cannot do the things that I could do. But if I'm ever to go away, then I must go away with money. And how can I get money? And so that third class of individual, he thinks about what he's going to do. He's not like the first one who just seemed to get further and further and quietly further away from God. But this third class of individual is the type of person who has it thought through. Who is so selfish in themselves, they really don't care about how Daddy will feel about this whenever he goes, says, Dad, give me the portion of goods that falls onto me. You mean, son, you're not going to wait until I die? No, I'm not going to wait until you die. You're not going to kick the bucket for a while. I want it now. You want your inheritance while I'm still alive? Yes, yes, I want it, and I want it now. Oh. And you know, his father went away and he thought about it and looked at it and considered it. It seemed to be that there was no other solution but just give him what he wanted. And father had to let him go. You know, dear friend, tonight, that son looked at his dad, and I'm sure dad looked at him, and dad brokenheartedly handed over all that dad was going to give him, the portion of goods that belonged to him, everything that dad intended to leave him in his will. He handed it over and he looked at him, and with sorrow in his heart, he knew, probably knew, what's going to happen here when this boy gets this money. And so that lad went away off into the world. Went away out into the far country. Went far away from the Lord. You know, after him went a broken heart. After him went a longing soul. After him went something. He said, oh, my boy, where is my boy? Where is my boy? And I may even be speaking to someone like that tonight. And you can look back to a time whenever you were challenged by a mother, challenged by a father, challenged by a Sunday school teacher, challenged by a Bible class leader about the pathway of life that you were daring to choose for yourself. But you said, no, I'm going to do my thing and I'm going to do it my way. And that third class of sinner headed away off. Whenever I was thinking of this tonight, I was just thinking of your former pastor here, the Reverend Eric Moore. I remember being here in New Buildings for Eric Moore's 21st birthday party. You didn't realize your pastor was so young when he was here, did you? He organized a birthday. Well, maybe it was his wife. I don't know who did it. But anyway, I got a nice cake out of it. That's all that worries. They organized a birthday party for the day that he was 21 years saved. And that coincided with the fact that he was 42 years old. Whoops, I hope he's not listening at any point. That coincided with the fact that he was 42 years of age. And he wanted to celebrate the fact that he was now as long saved as he'd been in the world. But you know, dear folks, let me track back a little bit. There was a day when he sat in a church very like this one, only it was Enniskillen was the town. And sitting in that church as others made their way forward receiving Christ, he said to himself, if I get out of here, I will never be back. Do some of you remember him telling that story? Yes, you remember it. I'll never be back. You know, he had a godly mother. I remember her so well. Godly father, I also remember him very well. I can remember him preaching there, standing on the back of my neck. Oh, and they broke their heart over Eric. And Eric, like the prodigal son in our story, he left Ireland, went to London. And you know the life of drink that he lived for those years. Tough life, hard life. But he thought that was the life. And it was no life at all. Then I notice there's a fourth class of sinner in this particular passage of Scripture, and it's the elder brother. And the elder brothers, he stayed at home. He never went away. He never missed a day's work. He was always at his father's side. Never did anything wrong. Always there. But you know, this man still had problems. Still had problems. The first problem was the attitude of his own heart. I'm sure that every day that his father broke his heart over the younger son, the older brother was thinking, what is my dad ever caring for that waster who's wasting his money on riotous living and living with harlots? That's the words that he used. Why would he do that? And whenever this son comes over the horizon and father runs to meet him, he's so annoyed that father would dare to kill the fatted calf. He's so cross that he will not go into the house. And he's so upset that somehow father seems to be treating him differently. Differently. You know, while one man's sins were so visible, while one man's sins were so much in the open, this man's sins were very much in the heart. Would have called him an angry young man, wouldn't we, John? Yeah. This man's sins were in the head. You know, I want you to notice a very critical verse for this man. And one of the problems here, the younger son comes and he says, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to read. And it says, and he divided unto them his living. Okay? Then later on, when the years have passed, and the younger son has come home, you know, that older brother, he points the finger at father and he says, Father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid. Do you know what a kid is? There was an alcoholic who used to ring me regularly, and he would say, and how are the children? I'd say, oh, the kids are doing fine. And he'd say, look, you never give birth to goats. These are the goat versions we're talking about here. He said, you never give me a kid, not even a kid, that I could make merry with. What is the problem here? I want you to notice something. The father divided unto them his living. How many are in them? There's two. Somebody's awake. So he gave the younger son his portion. And if he divided it unto them, what did he do for the older son? He got his portion too. Isn't that correct? Am I right here? Is my maz as good as his? He divided unto them. That meant he didn't get a kid. He got a farm. Wow. Chances are there might have been a few cattle on that farm. How many of those cattle were his? Well, listen to what the father has to say. And the father answered him and he said, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. You know, if this man had a problem tonight, his problem was this, that God had, or the Father rather, had made a tremendous provision. And this man had never entered into it. The Father had made tremendous provision. He says, it's all your son. And how does the son address the father? He says, I have served thee. The father's sort of looking at him and saying, well, what were you serving me for? As far as I was concerned, it's yours. I've given it to you. But you never took it. And you know, the fourth class of sinner tonight is a person who has never left church, never wandered away, have never been in the nightclubs, have never lost their virtue, have never done so many things that others have done. Never, never, never is written all over them. But sadly, here's a terrible never. They have never possessed what the Lord wanted to give them. They have never possessed what the Lord wanted to give them. And that left this man in as big a trouble as anybody else. Because you know, we are told that the sheep got home and the shepherd said, rejoice with me, I've found the sheep that was lost. We are told that the coin was found and the lady said, rejoice with me, I've found the coin that was lost. We are told that the younger son came home and a party was organized. He said, rejoice with me, for this my son which was dead is alive again. But the sad reality about it is this, we never read that the older son went in to the house. Oh, and we never read about any rejoicing over him. Do you know what the Lord was trying to say to the scribes and Pharisees? It's a wonderful virtue to be decent. It's a wonderful virtue to be upright. It's wonderful to keep the law, but you can make such a barrier out of those things that actually on the great accounting day you might be the only one that is lost. You might be the only one that is lost. Oh, that's scary. You know, folks, let me just draw this to a conclusion very, very quickly. That sheep was lost, but there was a caring shepherd. And I want to tell you tonight, you have a caring shepherd. He left the splendors of heaven, knowing his destiny. It was a lonely hill of Golgotha. There he gave up his life for me. And I want to tell you tonight that you have a shepherd, and he went out onto the mountain wild and bare, driven by the loving, tender shepherd's care. And out there on that wild mountainside, he died that he might bring you home. Bring you home. You have a shepherd. I want to say secondly that that shepherd is living inside the life of the preacher. He's living inside the life of our singer. And he's living inside the life of your pastor. And he's living inside the life of many, many, many people in this church. And I've been with them in that little room. And I tell you, that same shepherd has put something pulsating in our heart that says, we want you saved! We don't want you lost and alone. We want you over there. The shepherd who went out and stood looking at that cross and then lay back on it as they nailed him to it and held it up. That shepherd who looked down with tender eye and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That tender shepherd who went through those 3 days of horror, absolute horror for you and for me, is still longing after the sinner in exactly the same way, and he has put a burden in our heart that you might be saved. You know, let's turn our attention from a man who was a shepherd to a lady. In other words, I believe that the sacred writer, the Lord Jesus Christ, is trying to turn us away and think. Now let's think of somebody else. And this time we've a lady. And the lady gets a brush in her hand. Aren't the ladies good with brushes? I like to think they're brilliant at it. I wish they would leave it all to, you know, the ladies. But anyway, she sometimes said, "Will you sweep the floor tonight?" So I do it from time to time. But the lady got the brush and she started to sweep up the dirt, knowing that there was something precious lying there in the midst of that dirt. And I like to think of that lady as being a wonderful picture of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's job is to convict us of sin and to remind us of all the horrible things that we have done in the past. And how in one fateful day something just dropped into that dirt. You know, I love that verse, and maybe we'll get a chance if we get an opportunity, God willing. I don't know what the future holds. And I feel almost like a man that's in a mission for 2 weeks with a noose around his neck, wondering, will we have a meeting tomorrow night? But if we get a chance, I love this verse. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. There's a life that is just dead, lying in sin, lying in trespasses. But Jesus has come to do a wonderful resurrecting work in that dead life. That's a bit of a misnomer, isn't it? Dead life, but you know what I mean. And the Holy Spirit's job is not only to convict us of the sin we've committed, but to shine the light so that something will glint. Something will catch a little gleam. We'll see a tiny little reflection off the face of that coin and we'll say, there it is! And the Lord tells us that it was the Holy Spirit's job to go and take the work of Christ and find souls. So if I think the shepherd represents Jesus and the lady represents the Holy Spirit, then who on earth could the Father represent? That one standing looking over the horizon and longing for his younger son to come home. Who is it that would go out and plead with the son that had never left home? If it is the one who I think it is, and I believe it to be the Father in heaven. He's the one that has a dear soul in church tonight who has never left church. And if anything was to be done in that church, you'd be the one to do it. But you know, folks, never possessed. Never possessed. Let me finish with a wee story. I told it to Jonathan the other night. We have a lady in our church. Well, shouldn't say. I had a lady that I grew up with because she's been there all my life. She was the absolute height of diligence. Every little thing that had to be cared for, the attention to detail was remarkable. Every meeting that she could be at, she was at it. Just one of those fantastic characters. But we had a remarkable mission in a tiny little mission hall, my older brother and myself, and it was one of those missions where God came down. It was one of those missions, I've only had a few occasions, but there was such a presence of God, and we were aware that God was moving in such a remarkable way that I remember grabbing the seat in front of me, and in the pre-service prayer meeting, there just was the two of us that night. And I remember shaking and trembling with fear. And my voice going, Lord, if you come down again like you did on the last few nights, Lord, I'm scared. That's the type of mission it was. I really was frightened. I honestly was frightened. And I was amazed because my brother prayed after me and he says, Lord, I'm scared too. It was a remarkable time. Really remarkable. But this lady, as we would have expected, was at the mission. She was a member of our church and she held senior office in the church. She contacted me after one of the Wednesday nights, it was probably Thursday, and she says, you know, I have really met the Lord last night. I really met the Lord last night. And I just thought, oh, that's great. Somebody else has met the Lord and I passed no remarks. And you know, usually I have a little habit of doing something special the first Sunday after Christmas. And so this first Sunday after Christmas, I asked her, would she give a word of testimony? Some weeks had passed by the stage, and as she got up to give her testimony, I said, now we all know, and I named her, but I'll save her the blushes tonight. I said, you all know, and we're just so thankful for all the years of tremendous service that she's given to the work of God here. And she came into the pulpit, she muttered, she says, when I tell my story, you'll maybe not say that sort of thing about me. And I thought, what? Here I am sitting behind thinking, whoa, that's a bit rough tonight. And she got up and she says, you know something? As a young woman, I attended a mission of W.P. Nicholson's. I responded, but I never got through. And she said, every time I felt bad, I got more involved. Every time I felt unsaved, I prayed a little more. Every time there was anything going wrong, I felt, oh, it's because you weren't doing X, Y, or Z. And so I tried to do more X, Y, or Z. But you said, in that little mission hall, God showed me that I never really had ever encountered Christ as my Savior. And on her own, and I like it when the Lord's doing that kind of work, on her own, she had a mighty encounter. Well, you could have blown me away with a feather. Honestly. But I had to, honestly, when I reflected on it, there would have been nights whenever there would have been a good service and a sense of the presence of the Lord, and you'd have seen agony written across her face. And me, I thought that she was just doing that because she was really praying for other people. I didn't know she was really concerned about herself. You know, I want to say to her, and to the glory of the Lord, that when the gospel is going forth and we're having a good meeting, you'll still see her pray, but there's a look of joy on her face. She was an elder brother type character that had never possessed what God wanted to give her. You know, tonight you could be a sinner in this meeting or you could be a backslider in this meeting, but really I think those four groups covers all. There ain't many other kinds of sinners that I'm aware of. Which one are you? And do you want to remain like that? We word of prayer and then Jonathan, please. Father, once again, you're with us tonight. We've had a lovely time. You're speaking. And oh God, we pray that the still small voice will continue to work. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.